Beloved congregation, with the help of the Lord, I will preach the word of God this evening from the scripture part that we have been reading from Ruth 1. And I read especially as a text verse for the sermon, verse 6, Ruth 1, verse 6, where we read as follows. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. The theme for this sermon is a visit of the Lord. 3 points of attention. The first point, traveling. The second point, returning. And the third point, choosing. The theme is a visit of the Lord. 3 points, traveling, returning, and choosing. Congregation, children, you maybe tried sometimes when you were at the beach to build a dike. You know what it is? We Dutch people know it very well, a dike that you build to keep the water at the other side of the dike. And maybe you try to do that and maybe get some water behind the dike. But what happened when the dike was breaking? What would the water do? What do you think? What did you see? Was the water going in the direction of the higher part of the beach? No. That's too difficult. That's too hard. The water will always try the easy way to the lower part. And that's a picture that is showing how we usually do things in life. Many times we try to get the most nice, easy way. Is that true? Can you see that? If you are having some time, young friends or adults, so some time that you think, well, what am I going to do now? And you have a choice in a certain way, you have a choice. You have your Bible and you have your computer. What are you going to do? It's the most easy to start up your computer and to watch some things there that entertain you. And many times we take the easy way. It's taking more energy and more concentration to read, to open up your Bible and to read it and to think about it. And that would be the most profitable way, the best thing that we would gain the most for our hearts. Yeah. We read this history in the book of Ruth about a family that came in a hard time of life. There was a famine in Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to sojourn to Moab. The whole family. A famine. Yeah, we have heard about that. There are many places in this world where famines are. Many lands, many countries do have a lack of food. And people suffer a lot. Children that have almost nothing to eat. For a whole day, for many days, they suffer. Even children starve in this world. Many of them. And the Lord has blessed us so much this year. That we had abundant of fruits on the fields. And many times we take it for granted. Well, we've worked hard for it. We did all we could. We made long hours, so yeah, in other words, we deserve it. But we really do not. We really are not better than those that starve. That experience lack of food. And how terrible is that? For parents not to be able to feed your children, it's hard for us to imagine because we probably never experienced it. And it happens so much in this world. Oh, that that goodness of the Lord would bring us to repentance, to conversion. Don't take it for granted, but see what a blessings we receive. It is so hard to experience such a situation. It is really suffering. Yeah, and this family couldn't take it anymore. They thought, well, it would be better to leave the land now. And it's, we do not read here how hard it was. And it's remarkable that we do not see in Scripture a judgment about what they did. I mean, it's not condemned, at least not by words condemned, that they left the land of Israel. Well, we think it was not a good thing because, you know, they left the land of Israel, they left the service of the Lord, and they went to a Gentile land, the Moabites. And where would they go to serve the Lord? Would they return every year? And where would their children find a spouse here among the Gentiles? Would they serve the Lord? Is it not dangerous to be so alone that you will start to join the idol, to serve the idols of the Gentiles? Yeah, it's an important question when we think about where we are going to live as a young couple, or if we are even when we are older, if there's a place where we can serve the Lord, where we can hear the word, where we can find Christ for us and our children. But they did it. And yeah, it can be easy standing here, having everything we need to judge them. It's remarkable there are no words in Scripture that say they did wrong. And you could say, well, you know, but then the husband of Elimelech, he died. And the sons, they died. So isn't that a sign that it was wrong? Well, it doesn't say that here. We could think that. But we have to be careful. Wouldn't it be better to say, well, these things happened in the providence of the Lord. I'm not saying it was right they did it. Humanly spoken, we probably could understand it. That's, in fact, not a point that is made here in this book, although we can certainly think about it. But the point is that the Lord, in His providence, was going to find a Gentile woman to save her soul. And He used His family. And you could say, well, it was a crooked way that He went. And still the Lord used it for His goal. And for that end, that her soul would be saved. And that she even was used in that line that from her as a descendant, the Lord Jesus would be born. So we could say, well, the Lord went to that land in this family to bring a visit to Ruth, to that young woman, to save her soul. And yeah, whatever we have to say about what his family did, this is remarkable. That the Lord is so mighty to find those that He wants to save, that He elected from all eternity, wherever they are. That doesn't mean that it is not making a difference what we are doing. Of course, we have a responsibility to think about where we're going to live, and if we can use the means so that we could say you walk in the rain to get wet, you come under the word to receive the power of the word in your heart. It's so encouraging that the Lord is able to overcome all those hindrances, to find this young woman, to save her soul, although she was not born in the people of the covenant. But she was a Moabite. And the Lord, he wanted to save her. And he used this family. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech. So that is a nice name. Do you know what it means, children? This name means God is king. So God is the one who is ruling. He is in control. And the name of his wife is Naomi. That means loveliness. And then at the end, she is changing her name, and she's changing it in Mara. That means bitterness. So this family, with her two sons, they go there to the land of the Moabites, because there's a famine in the land. Yeah, it was among the people of Israel that the Lord gave this lack of food. It was in the time of the judges, a time that is described as a time that everybody was doing according to his own heart and opinion. What he desired to do, that he did in those days of the judges. And the Lord gave a famine among his people. Well, we have to see also from this history that if we are belonging to the people of the Lord, and we know, of course, not all that belong to the people of the covenant are really born again, but it doesn't mean that those who are the people of the Lord will not have tribulations. They really have. There's a famine coming there in Bethlehem, in that place where, in that town where the Lord Jesus will be born. There's a lack of food. So to belong to the people of God doesn't mean that we will not have tribulations. And then this family is trying to escape from this difficult situation. And then they have another tribulation. The man, the father in the family, he is dying, and the two sons die afterwards, both of them also. Yeah. Yeah, sometimes it can be that we try to escape from a difficult situation, and that we find something even more difficult. But if we would conclude that this is showing that they were wrong, probably we are too fast, because we read when Jacob went to Egypt, leaving the land that the Lord had promised to give to Abram and his descendants, the Lord allowed it, the Lord approved it, and said to Jacob, well, be not afraid to go there. And then afterwards, his descendants, the people of Israel, they came in a big tribulation, affliction. They were made slaves. And it was all in the plan of God. So we have to see those things go according to the providence of God. God wanted to prepare his people in Egypt so that they would go to the promised land afterwards. And God wants to save Ruth, a Gentile woman from the Moabites. Wonderful that the Lord is having the means and the wisdom to find those that he wants to save. He is so mighty. He is almighty. And oh, what a blessing that this family is used for the salvation of the soul of Ruth. It seemed to me impossible, because she belonged to a people that was under a curse. The Moabites, we know where they come from. Moab was the son that was born from Lot and his daughter. So from a sinful act is Moab born, the Moabites. And then Afterwards, when the people of Israel went to the promised land, then the Moabites were against them. Instead of helping their, you could say, brother people, because Lot and Abram were relatives, they came against them. And the king of the Moabites even hired Balaam to curse the people of Israel, although the Lord prevented it. And Balaam made them to sin, Baal Peor, so that they did adultery with those women of the Gentiles. And the Lord punished them severely. And then the Lord said that the Moabites wouldn't come in the congregation of the Lord. There was a curse upon this people. Yeah, it seemed to be impossible that Ruth would be saved. And still the Lord did it. That can be a thing that is in our mind. Is it possible for me to be saved? I've done those things that are so against the will of God. And my parents, my grandparents maybe, or my relatives, or... Yeah, so we really are not worthy. There are those that are much more worthy in our understanding. Those that have lived a faithful life in the service of the Lord. Yeah, they can be saved. But I? Can I be saved? Well, that's impossible. And Satan will say that to you. Well, think about Ruth. It seemed to be impossible. There was a curse upon that people for what they did, and she belonged to that people. And she was without the knowledge of God. And God gave a famine, and this family traveled to the Moabites, and she married one of the sons, and she started to learn about God, to know the living God. What a wonderful thing is the Lord doing here. How mighty is He. So are you thinking that it's impossible for you to be saved? And that's really not true. The Lord is working in situations that seem to be impossible, that are impossible. And in fact, we have to see it's impossible for each and every one of us. We all are under that curse of sinning in Adam. We all deserve the wrath of God. But the Lord knows ways to save us sinners like we are. Standing outside of the communion, the fellowship, the favor of God. Being under His wrath by nature. But He found a way in sending His Son to this world. This family is leaving a place where there's a lack of food, so that they will find what they need physically. But Christ was leaving a place, heaven, where He received all the glory, honor and joy. So full and so rich that we cannot even understand and imagine. And He came to this world to take the curse upon Himself, to save people that are starving spiritually because of leaving the Lord. That is the way that He will save people like we are, and Ruth, much the same like she is. In a certain way. Do you see that? Did you ever see that our souls by nature are starving? That we really need the Lord Jesus Christ to feed our souls, to save us from our sins and from our guilt? Yeah, and that we go to find Him, that we seek Him. Did you do that? Did you see, well, I need to know Christ. I cannot have rest before I know Him. Before I, with the mouth of my heart, my soul will eat him, the living bread that came from heaven, to give me what I need. Is that your heart? That urgent thing, I need grace. That urgent thought, I need to be saved. And that you saw well, and there is a way. There is living bread provided by the Lord. There's a Savior for my soul. Well, you will find him if you seek him. That's not my word. That's the word of God. And the Lord is not lying. Yeah. Oh, why would you wait? Why would you stand afar from the Lord? Do you think that there's anything else that can satisfy your heart and soul? It is really not true. Oh, that we would travel, that we would come to this Savior, that we would flee to him, and that we would cry out all our need, all our sin and our impossibility, and he wouldn't push us away. He would receive us, and he would teach us what we need to know, and he would save us. He certainly will. And there they went to the land of the Moabites, and they lived there, and those sons, they married two ladies, two women from the Moabites, Orpah and Ruth, and they dwelt there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husbands. So now Naomi and her two daughters-in-law, they are widows. And how difficult is that? If you lose your husband, now you're alone. You lost your support, the one that was comforting you. It's so difficult to lose your beloved wife, your beloved husband. It's difficult nowadays, but it was even worse in those days, because, you know, if you were a widow in those days, you were without protection and without someone providing for your daily need. And there they are in a strange land for Naomi, and without her husband. And now, what are they gonna do? What a sadness is there in this world. People alone, losing beloved ones. We know death came in this world because of sin. It is such a terrible thing, but it is reality that we all have to die one day. It is because of leaving the Lord. And death, oh, is so terrible. There's no mercy in death. But if you know by grace, by faith, that Christ took death upon himself, then death isn't really death anymore. It's like a gate to eternal life. Oh, there are those stories about young children that became very sick. Oh, how sad is that? I read a story about a young boy. He was young and sick, and they knew he couldn't recover. He had to die. He became weaker and weaker. And then the parents came to this boy, and oh, they couldn't help that they were crying because of sadness in the heart. But the boy, the young boy, only 6 years, he didn't cry. And they said, but oh, aren't you sad that you know you cannot recover anymore? And he said, no. Oh yeah, I love you, mom, dad, but you know, the Lord is my shepherd. like a child. So completely he trusted the Lord with his whole heart. They had taught him that was the very best, to be with the Lord. And he knew it. Children, that's really true. That while you are still young, you can know that in your heart. I belong to Christ. He has bought me with his precious blood. And when I have to leave this world, then I will with him in eternal joy and light. Yeah, that will change. That will change that whole situation. That we have to die. It is still sad that we have to part from each other. But oh, there is such a comfort in your heart when you know my child is giving glory to God now for all eternity. And one day if you can say that, one day we will do that together. Yeah, that's changing. That's changing your sadness. And you're still sad, but you have comfort also. They lost their husbands, and now, yeah, they are alone there. And then they hear something. They hear that the Lord visited his people, giving them bread. And they make a decision. Well, let us go back. They return. They had gone far away from the service of the Lord. And now they are going back. The Lord is bringing them back to Bethlehem. Yeah, we can go so far away, even after we have received grace. Isn't that true? That we are backsliding, that we are leaving the Lord, that we are having many things in our hands but lost the Word of God out of our hands. And what a wonderful thing that the Lord in his grace is bringing his children back, that he will never allow them to continue to go astray, to leave the Lord. And it's making us ashamed when we think about those many times that there was coldness in our heart because we were turning our backs to the Lord, or we were choosing to sin. Well, we knew it is wrong, or we thought the things of the world more important than the things of God. Did you never have that? Isn't that a thing that all the children of God have to see in their own lives? That if it would depend from them, they would be lost. If it wasn't about the faithfulness of the Lord bringing them back again and again, it would be hopeless. Yeah, so when we ever will enter that glorious place of heaven, it is not because of our faithfulness, certainly not, but it's only and totally the faithfulness of God, that he is continuing, and that he is, patient with us, although we many times forgot him, and many days, didn't we? But if you are there, far away from the Lord now, if you have that coldness in your heart and darkness, and that's our own guilt, it's not the guilt of the Lord, and it's making you so sad because you know what it is to walk in the light. And Satan will say to you, the Lord has forgotten you and it's impossible for you to return to him. You are too far away. And you have sinned and neglected the Lord, although you knew better. Don't believe it. That's a lie of Satan. There is a way back. How much you damaged, did damage to your soul, that is true. But there is a way back. The Lord is so gracious. He is so powerful. Or maybe you say, but I do not know grace. Yeah, I have had a teaching in my young life. But oh, I didn't want to listen. I disobeyed. And I choose to serve the sin and the world. And now I think it's impossible. My heart is too hard. I've seen too much sin. I've done too much against the Lord. That is not true. The Lord is able to soften your heart. Yeah, there is a way back. If you were far away in darkness, there is a way back. And the Lord is calling you tonight. Yeah, that there is bread to be received. Bethlehem, it's such a beautiful name. It means house of bread, the place where the Lord Jesus would be born. And they received the message that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. It's all in the providence. It's all in the sovereign government of the Lord. That he is giving a famine when he needs it in his plan and for his purpose. And part of this plan and purpose is to save Ruth. And it's also in his sovereign counsel and providence that he is giving bread at his time. Yeah, there are times of tribulation and affliction also for the people of God. And there are times of comfort and abundance. And it's all in the hand of the Lord. He is doing that in his wisdom. And all those things have a goal and an end and a purpose. If there is affliction in our life, it is that we will be more on our knees even and feel our own impossibility and weakness. If there's adversity in our lives, in our business, in our job, oh, it's not without meaning, but it's having a purpose. The Lord wants to use those things to make us expect it from him. And then he is giving abundance. And also with a purpose that our hearts would be full of gratitude, and that it would be a desire to give thanks to him for all his goodness, and that the goodness of the Lord would make us to repent. All things should work for that end. Does it in our lives? What did we do with the blessings of the Lord? What did we do with the afflictions? So they heard the message that the Lord gave bread to his people. The Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. So you could say, the Lord came. He gave attention to his people. He directed his attention to them and provided them with bread. It is so true that it is the Lord who is giving it. It is not our diligence. It's not our strength, it's not our labor, but it is the Lord that is giving us the means to live. Many times we can forget it. We think, yeah, we did it, but that's not true. Without the blessing of the Lord, it's all in vain. Without the blessing of the Lord, we wouldn't have the strength. I talked to a man and I asked him, are you going to the church? He said, no, I do not. There's no need for me to do that. You know, I'm successful. I've done several things and I earned a lot of money by that. I bought a house and I rebuilt it and I sold it and it's always going well with me. But yeah, you know, shouldn't you think and acknowledge the Lord? Well, why? He said, I worked for it. I made many hours to do that. I said, well, but the Lord gave you the strength to do it. Well, but if you look to those people going to the church, they are not better than I am. So, well, it's not about that, but it's about the goodness of God. And, well, you know, I do not see that. There's no need for me to go to church. And only a few weeks later he came in a motorbike accident. It was very serious, almost. And the Lord saved his life. I thought, what a warning for this man. We are nothing without the Lord. If he is not preserving us and keeping us, we die. How foolish we are when we think that it is in our hand. It is so true what is written here, that the Lord visited his people in giving them bread. So it was the hand of the Lord that gave them bread, and they couldn't do it themselves. He did it. That's the way that we have to speak and think about it. When you see your property, when you see your business, when you see that you can do your job, that you think, it is the hand of the Lord giving it to me. He has provided. It's nothing from myself. Yeah, but I had insight and I was so smart to do it. Oh, you received it from God? You don't have it from yourself? Did you give it to yourself? No, you didn't. It's all from God. It is the Lord who has visited you, giving you all those good things, so that you would glorify him. And you will not do that outside of Christ. So you need Christ, so that he will work that gratitude in your heart by the Holy Spirit. Yeah. The Lord visited his people. Oh, yeah, if you know the Lord, there's such a desire in your heart. Lord, visit me. Visit me again and again in such a strong way that I might know thee more, that I might see more of that living bread, the Lord Jesus Christ, that my soul will eat him. Do you have that desire in your heart to know him more? Like Paul says, oh, that I might know him in the power of his resurrection. I need it. I'm so weak inside. I'm not having the courage. I'm not having the faith by myself and the hope by myself and the obedience by myself and the strength. I need the visit of the Lord every day. Did you come to church in such a way that you thought, oh Lord, visit me tonight. Visit my soul with that comfort and teaching of the Holy Spirit, that I might experience communion with thee by faith. Lord, I need it so much. That visiting of the Lord, it is so wonderful. It's not a thing that we can make. It's coming from him, so that he will receive all the glory. But he is doing it. He is doing it usually in a way that we use the means, that we kneel down, that we cry out before him, that we meditate upon the word, and then the Lord coming, softening our hearts, making us being united with his will, making us to see what we are, making us satisfied with Christ. Oh, what a good thing. Those visits of the Lord. Yeah, and even Ruth was not too far away. He knew a way to find her, and there they go. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Didn't you hear it? That the Lord is visiting his people, giving them bread. Are you not seeking to share in that bread, to receive that bread too? That the Lord is visiting sinners, men and women here in this world, giving them bread, giving them Christ to their soul. Wouldn't it make you to return, if you walk in a way of sin, to seek Him? Boys and girls, how is it in your life? Do you think that's possible for you to receive such a visit of the Lord? It is. It is. Do you think that it would be a thing that is worth to leave the world? It is. Satan will say, no, it's a sad service. You're not allowed to do this. You're not allowed to do that. And you should do this and you should do that. But the truth is that it is so full and so rich that you can say, I have everything. There can be so many desires in your heart when you are young. And now here is something that can bring to rest all your desires. Because when you have Christ, you have enough. Because you have everything. Let us sing before we continue. Let us sing Psalter 420, stanza 2 and 3. 420, stanza 2. But let the righteous, blessed of your joy in their God, as never before. 420, stanza 2 and 3. station. You see them going there, three women, in the direction of Bethlehem, Judah, Naomi and her two daughters-in-law, Ruth and Orpah. Ruth means friendship, and Orpah means unruly. And there they go. And then Naomi is starting to talk to her two daughters. She says, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. So she says, well, you better return now, because there are many opportunities for you in your homeland, and it's hard for you to join me to Bethlehem, Judah. So she's making them aware of the costs. If she would join her, it doesn't mean that she wouldn't like those young women to serve the Lord, of course. She would like that, because we are aware that this woman, Naomi, is a woman that knows the fear of the Lord. And Ruth has seen it in her life. But it's like what Scripture says, if you are going to build a tower, you're going to count the costs. If you have the money to pay. So if you are going to follow the Lord, if we serve the Lord, we have to be honest. We have to say, well, that means you lose everything. You lose everything. You lose the things of this world. You lose your own life in such a way that you have to put your heart on the things of God, on the heavenly things, and you have to turn your back to the things of the world. That doesn't mean that you will not live in the world, but it's not your main goal that you are living for. You are living for the things of heaven. Yeah, you lose everything, and we do not like that. We hate it by nature. We want to be independent, to take care of ourselves. And we fight against it by nature, to lose our life. And we want to do the things of the flesh. So we have to count the cost. We have to see that Naomi didn't want her two daughters-in-law to go with her and afterwards say, well, you know, this is a disappointment. This is not what I mean with following you. She made them aware what it would mean. There was much more opportunity to marry again in Moab. So if they would go with her, they would make a sacrifice. And if you are drawn by the Lord to fear Him and serve Him, that's really to sacrifice yourself as a living, as a reasonable sacrifice to serve the Lord. Do you see that? Do you understand that? I do not want to deceive you. I want you, young people, to see that to know Christ means you lose your old life in sin. And that's a good thing, but you have to see that. It's not that we say, well, it's all easy and joy, but it's a fight of faith. You have to see that. You have to be aware what it means to know the Lord, to serve Him. Christ is honest about that. To follow me means to take your cross upon your shoulder. It means to be hated in this world. It means to be despised by the world. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to sacrifice everything to know Christ? To lose yourself, your own pride, your own gain, your own fleshly will? That's the cost. Well, those two daughters-in-law, they make a choice. Orpah is returning. She's choosing to go to her homeland, probably to marry there, to have children. That's what she could expect. But Ruth is making a different choice. He says, no, I'm not returning. Where you will be, there will I be. Where you will die, there will I die. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. There's a choice that she makes. Why? Why? Because now she's going to a strange land, but maybe continue to be a widow, unmarried for the rest of her young life. Why does she do it? Well, the only answer is the Lord had visited her by putting that choice in her heart, making her to see that to know the Lord is much better than to know everything from this world. And that's why people come to see Christ, although it will cost them their own life and the glory and honor of the world. They will lose it by knowing Christ, because then Christ will receive all the glory and not they themselves anymore. Oh, and I have such a desire in my heart that that choice will be in your heart, boys and girls. It's really my prayer that that choice will be made by you. That the Lord will give you to see that although you will lose the things that the world says are important, that it is much better to know the Lord. Yeah, and then the Lord is not making her ashamed and disappointed. At the end, she marries there and she is having child Obed, and that's the grandfather of David, and so the Lord Jesus will be born from her descendants. She didn't know that here. She didn't see that all at forehand, but it was so strong in her heart. So that's what I want you to see, that where the Lord is working in a heart, where he is giving faith to trust him, you will break through all those resistances that we have by nature. But the Lord is so, that's what the Lord is doing. He's overcoming all those things that seem to be a hindrance. He is making it so strong inside that you have to go there. That you have to find and to know and to serve the Lord, to fear him. So what are the hindrances for you? What is the resistance inside? Do you think it's not good? It's not worthy to give up everything to know him? Yeah. Oh, that's so terrible. You make the biggest mistake you can ever make. Because Christ says, If you lose in this world for my name, the things of this world, even houses, fields, relatives, beloved ones, you will receive it 100 times. Now and in the life to come. It's up to the Lord what He's giving. But to know Him, to know Christ means that you give everything out of your hands, so you lose everything. And you trust the Lord that He will give what is good for you, for your soul, for this life, and that He certainly will give you everything in the life to come. Wonderful that thousands and thousands, I have to say millions in world history, are drawn by the Lord to make this choice, to choose in such a way like Ruth is doing here, because they see that they need God for the heart. And if they have the Lord, they have everything. Oh, I really hope that the Lord is drawing you now, this evening, young people, adults, and then you will come. It's irresistible, the power of the Spirit. All your resistance, He will overcome. Your God is my God. Maybe you say, well, is this confusion in the life of Ruth? We know that later on we hear about Boaz, and that she came to be helped by him, and that Boaz is a picture of Christ helping a helpless, a sinner. That's true. But you know, we couldn't say that is literally in the same thing in the life of Ruth. I mean, when she is coming to Boaz, doesn't mean that she at that time is gonna know Christ. It is a picture of what the Lord is doing in the lives of His children, that Christ is like Boaz, helping the helpless. But it doesn't mean that this is not real conversion in the life of Ruth, but she's making that choice in her heart. Oh, there's a lot that she had to learn. But that means that Christ was there in her life. You know what I say, you understand it. Otherwise you make it confusing if you take those things apart. There cannot be that real choice in your heart apart from Christ. That's what I mean. You know, you cannot say you can be converted but still without Christ. That's impossible. There cannot be an area of time between conversion and coming to Christ. Those two belong together. So it's a picture. What Boaz does is Christ doing to a poor sinner. But you cannot say that Ruth is converted here, where the choice is in her heart, and that she doesn't know anything of Christ. She has seen something of the grace that is in that God of Israel. She has heard about it. And she, the Lord gave her that choice in her heart. She would leave everything behind to know this God. And there's a lot to be learned when the Lord is starting in your heart to work, changing your heart and soul. But that's not without Christ. That's impossible. There cannot be spiritual life in your heart without Christ. Oh, do you know that life in your soul? Do you know that salvation by the God of Israel through His Son for starving souls, to give them real eternal life, to sinners, poor, helpless, like a widow, without support in themselves? But then everything in Him to be found for eternity. Amen. Let us pray together. O Lord, gracious God, we come to Thee. We thank Thee for Thy word, Lord, bless it to our hearts. Oh, that will be such a day of thanksgiving if that choice is in our heart, worked by the Holy Spirit, that this God of Scripture is my God. Cannot live without Him. I cannot die without Him. Oh Lord, we pray that none of us would stay behind, that we all will come to eat from the living bread, to find forgiveness of our guilt and sin. Lord, bless Thy word. Bring us together tomorrow morning in Thy house. O Lord, speak to our hearts and souls. I am Thy salvation alone. Protect us on a dangerous road. O Lord, watch over us. Keep us from sin. Forgive us all our sins. We pray it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.